Bow with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We think about these children who've come today and some of the stories of the families who are here. How these families have had to trust you in hard times, questions and wondering about the health of their children. The gift and the blessing of these children. All of us pause to thank you for how we've had to trust you in the past, and we trust you again today. You are a trustworthy God. So we thank you, Lord, for this day, and we thank you that we can trust you with all of our life and all of our children. In Jesus' name we pray. All God's people said, amen. Well, good morning. Good to see you. If you have your Bibles, if you'll find your place in the New Testament, Galatians chapter 5. I'm Pastor Mike. We're honored to have you if you're a guest. Please come and worship with us again. We're delighted that you would come and make your way to be with us today. Today is the final week I've been talking on this theme of just as I am, I come. It's a very important theme because it teaches us this is how we come to know Jesus Christ as our Savior. You see here at the church, we begin talking to the boys and girls, and all the way up through our senior adults, we honor Jesus and focus on Him because through Jesus we're saved, but we come just as we are. We come in our sin, our brokenness. We can't come in our hard hearts and our bitterness, but we come to Jesus and we surrender ourselves to Him. And what we find is forgiveness and grace and mercy. So this morning we come to talk about freely coming to serve others. Oh, this is such an important theme. I've spoken about this all morning. We have a worship service at 8 o'clock. We have one at 9 o'clock, and then we meet here at 10:30. I don't often do this, but I really dedicate this, what I'm about to say, my words to this church, First Baptist Church. Now, I've been associated and known the people of this church for a long time. This church truly does represent and is an example. Not perfect. We're not perfect. We don't always do our best job, but we're working at it. And the Lord helps us and we'll do the best we can. This church has been around a long time. Generations have been impacted by the life of this church. And truly, this church, if you hang around here long enough, you discover there is a real serving attitude and heart in the lives of our people. And so today we want to look just for a moment at this. We won't be long. And again, what a special day for all of you guests and parents who are here and family. Thank you for coming to honor the dedication of these special children. They represent many, many others in our church. Well, I'd like for you to take your Bible now and stand with me in honor of the reading of God's Word. We'll read in Galatians 5. If you don't have a copy of God's Word, the Bible with you, you can follow along on the screen. Now, Paul the Apostle is writing this letter to a group of churches in a region called Galatia. That's why it's called the Galatians. Not just to one church, but a group of churches, and he's seeking to describe for them what it means to have real freedom and to have salvation in Jesus Christ. We'll pick up in verse 13. For you, he's speaking to all these Christians now and all these scattered churches, for you were called to freedom, brethren, only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh. But, and here are the words I'll focus on today, through love, serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word in this statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another. But I say, walk in the Spirit or walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now, as we stand before you, Heavenly Father, we ask that the Holy Spirit of God, as we honor Jesus who is among us today, be our teacher, help us to understand the importance of freely serving others in love. May my words honor Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. So what is the badge? What is the real badge we wear as followers of Jesus? It is the badge of serving. It is the badge of service. It's not the badge of someone respecting us and us being first and us having the first place. It's us being in the last place. Serving. So we learn today that the Lord Jesus served, and he has given us, if we follow him, the responsibility to serve in the same way. Our families, our community, here in the church, serving. Serving is at the heart of it. Serving. When you go to the restaurant today and you see the servers, remember, we serve. We serve others. We put others first. They have the first place. And out of a heart of love, we love people enough to let them be first, more important, and we serve them. So what do we learn from this verse? Well, I'm going to just take verse 13, and I want you again to look at those few words found in Galatians 5:13. Through love, serve one another, church. You know, you really can't do this unless you're born again. Did you know that? People try to serve, but there always seems like that there's an element of it that's selfish. No, when you have real selfless service, and in fact, that's what I'm talking about here today, is a life of unselfish living. And living a life of unselfishness can only be accomplished by God's power. We always want to go back. We always want to be respected. We always want to be first in line, the most important. So today we think about service, and we have among us many who are great examples of this biblical truth in our church, and we honor you today and we thank the Lord for you. May our group of servants increase at First Baptist. Notice first of all from these verses, verse 13, we come freely, number one, following the Holy Spirit. Now this is interesting. I won't develop this in too much detail, but Paul here talks about our freedom. He says you're called to freedom. Did you see that? So every one of us, how did we start our Christian life? We started out by hearing a call. For some people, they say it was an audible call. They heard it. For some people, it's in their mind. For some, it's a drawing or a feeling inside of them. But whatever, however it comes, whether it was when they were reading the Bible or they were hearing somebody preach or somebody was teaching or somebody had given them a little tract to read, however it happened, they started hearing about Jesus, and all of a sudden they felt something drawing them away from the life they live, the attitudes they have, the people they're around that are all just as miserable and bitter as they are. They felt a drawing, a calling out to not live that way anymore. For you were called. So I'm speaking to all of those of you who are my brothers and sisters in Jesus. You were called. God called you out of your sin. God called you out of your selfishness. God called you out of an old way of living. God called you to come and follow Jesus, to change your attitude, to change your values, to base them on God's word. God called you, for you were called. This is the statement that's true for every Christian. You were called. And you were called to what? To freedom. Oh, the freedom that comes in knowing Jesus. Gospel freedom, salvation freedom. I'm no longer tied to all of those ways I used to try to please God. Those legalistic ways, if I can just be good enough and kind enough and do good deeds. No, friend, we can't do enough works to ever gain God's pleasure. That's why Jesus died on the cross. And so we come to know Jesus, and the beauty of it is that when we come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and we follow that call of God, and we do what the Bible says. Here's what it says. If you will confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's what happens. God calls you and says, don't you want your life to be different? Don't you want to be forgiven? Don't you want to leave this old miserable way you're living? Don't you want to get out of this old pattern of life? And you say yes to Jesus, you confess him, and you are saved. And all of a sudden, I don't understand this. This is just the mystery of what happens. The Bible tells us this. God, the Holy Spirit, then comes to be a part of your mind, your thoughts, your desires. All of a sudden, you start changing. And this is what we see here. Verse 13, you were called in freedom to come out of your sin, but don't allow your freedom to turn into an opportunity to be selfish. So we have this responsibility to listen to the Holy Spirit. Look at verse 16. I say, walk by the Spirit. You won't fulfill the desires of the flesh. Verse 18, but if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. So there is this thing of walking now with the Spirit. It's a strange thing. I'm describing the normal Christian life. When I come to know Jesus, all of a sudden, as I study God's Word, the Holy Spirit helps me remember these things. And when I'm faced with temptation, when I'm at work or when I'm with some people in some situations I ought not to be with, I feel that this isn't the right thing for me to do. I feel this isn't the right thing for me to say. It's the Holy Spirit. Walk by the Spirit. Follow the Holy Spirit. Do what He says for you to do. You say, Pastor Mike, how will I know? You'll know when you know Jesus as Lord and Savior. I promise you, the Holy Spirit of God will guide you. As you learn God's Word, He speaks to you. And then there is this I must read it, verse 22, the fruit of the Spirit. So we walk by the Spirit, we're led by the Spirit and follow the Holy Spirit. And then all of a sudden, from our lives come different attitudes. Did you see? Here's a list of them. Not necessarily all of the things, but when I come to know Jesus, guess what? Love starts to come out instead of anger. Peace starts to come out instead of agitation. Patience starts to be seen instead of frustration. Kindness starts to come out instead of meanness. Goodness comes out instead of badness. Faithfulness starts to come out instead of being unreliable. All of a sudden, I'm changed. So you see, when I'm called, I come. See, this is the same thing. I grew up in Oklahoma, around a lot over there, lots of cattle people. There are cattle people here too. I've said all morning, I've talked to some of our men here that do cattle, and all of them are proud because they know how to call their cows. We're not going to have any illustrations today. And those of you who know how, don't start calling your cows in here. But you know what happens when the farmer calls the cows? They come running. They're spoiled. They're ready to eat, and here they come. Pat and I were over to our sons in Portland just this weekend helping them, here were these cows out there in the field, and the farmer rolled up, and they knew all these little calves and cows, and here they all go. You were called, and so when God called you, you came. See, this is the picture. Just as I am, I come. When God calls, I come. And then I follow the Holy Spirit, and then something happens. Guess what? God starts placing inside of me. You see, first of all, Jesus has set you free. You're free now. You have freedom. Freedom from an old way of life. Freedom from old attitudes. We are free because Jesus set us free by dying on the cross. But the second thing I want you to see is that we come freely, and all of a sudden there comes inside of us, this is strange, love for other people. Oh, what a loveless world we live in. What a loveless world. Oh, what hatred. Oh, what bitterness. Oh, what unforgiveness. Oh, what unkindness. But something happens to people who are called out and who follow Jesus, they start to love. Look what Paul says, verse 14. I have it there for you. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word. You know what the word is? You love other people. You love your neighbor. You love your neighbor. Some of you live out in the country areas and your neighbors are, you know, 5 miles away, your nearest neighbor. If you're like Pastor Mike and Pat, we live right downtown on West College. And oh, a lot of people in our church worry about just how close my neighbor lives to me. It's 10 feet, if you want to know. But don't worry, we figured it out. You see, the windows of our kitchen and their windows are just almost perfectly matched. So if Pat and I run out of groceries, we're just going to send a stick over through their window that says, please give us some sugar and milk. Who is your neighbor? Who's your neighbor? This is what I'm at. Who's your neighbor? It's your literal neighbors. Oh, it's also the people you're sitting around. It's those broken people that you meet every day. It's those people who live in hardness. You know, your most bitter enemy is your neighbor. Jesus said it this way. Look, let me just read it. Matthew 7:21. I'll read the verse, but we have a saying for this. We call this something. Matthew 7:21 says, in everything, treat people the same way you want them to treat you. For this is the law and the prophets. In other words, the entire Old Testament is summed up in this. Treat other people like you want to be treated. Now, we call it the golden rule. Oh, what a wonderful thing it would be if the love of Jesus Christ, we express it at work, treat other people the way you want to be treated. Don't treat them the way they've treated you. Treat them the way you want to be treated. Treat them the way you want to be treated. Boys and girls, you treat your brothers and sisters the way you want to be treated. Well, he didn't do it, blah, blah. That's right. What you're fussing about is what you ought to do for your brothers and sisters. In our marriages, treat one another as you want to be treated. In our relationships with one another, our friendships, wherever it might be. You see, as I am freed from my sin, I come to have a love in my heart that I can't explain. It's this love. 1 John 4:19 says, we love because he, that is Jesus, first loved us. So here's what we see today. We're free because Jesus set us free, and we're called to love because we have seen somebody who loved us and died for us so that we might have life and hope. One last thing. Because of this love that stirs up in my life, now this sounds like a total contradiction. I am now free to become a slave again. You know, I mentioned this before. I grew up, I have a large family and my sisters are all younger. And I don't know how many times in our family, one of the sisters or me or something, we're trying to boss the other ones around. And one of the children would say to the other, one of the brothers, sisters would say, I'm not your slave, but I am your slave. Look what Paul said, 1 Corinthians 9:19. I put it up here. Sometimes these testimonies, these words of Paul get lost in all of his words. Look at this. This is very important. This is the badge we wear. Our badge as Christians is not how much we know about the Bible. Our badge is not that we have perfect attendance at church. No, our badge is, though I am free of all men, I have made myself a slave to all. I'm now your slave. And I'm happy to exchange the freedom that I have in Jesus. I am now free to become a slave. And I have seen and witnessed many times our people here who freely made themselves the slave, not looking for nobody to brag, nobody to make any point about it. They freely served, and our people serve in this church, in our community. They do wonderful things that no one knows about, but in the name of Jesus, they freely serve. They put themselves in positions to try to help others. They serve. There is a serving spirit. When I come to know Jesus and I am freed from my sin, a new love wells up inside of me for all people, even my enemies, and I start desiring to serve them. And I start thinking of this, how can I serve that person? It's what the good server says to you when they come to take your order. How can I serve you? How can I serve you? Jesus said this, and I want you to hear it. He was talking about how the world works and how disciples should live. He said the world lives, this is Luke 22, 25, 26. He says, don't be like the world, always trying to push your way to the front, always trying to be first, always trying to be the top, always having first place. Don't do that. Listen, he says, but it's not going to be this way with you. The one who is the greatest among you must become like the youngest. And the leader, like a servant. If you lead, you serve. You serve. We have our great people who serve in the military, and they learn this principle of service. They serve our law enforcement people and our first responders. They serve. The lessons we can learn from these wonderful people about service. It's not about our names. It's about our duty to serve others. And as a church, we serve. We serve here to one another. We serve in ways to help. All this morning, we're able to have these services because people are serving. And we need others to serve. We always call for serving. There's never enough servants. And then we go out into the community and we serve, and you serve. And many of you serve and you never ask for any kind of recognition. God bless you for doing it. It is a mark of discipleship when we bow and go low and serve. Well, I wanted to end this morning by telling you just a brief story about Shoeshine Sylvia. I don't know how many of you have ever thought about being a shoeshiner, but Sylvia lived in Boston. She was a follower of Jesus, trusted the Lord. Her husband was a Christian. She was a very accomplished businesswoman, and she had her degrees from university, and she served, and she was very faithful in her business, and she tried to be a Christian and do what she could to be a follower of Jesus in that place. Her husband, on the other hand, he was at Logan Airport in Boston, and some of you have been there. It's a big airport. He was a shoe shiner. She's in the business world, and he's shining shoes. Well, he served and did all of this for many years, 13 hours or so a day, long day, shoe shining. And he was doing his job. He was a Christian. He was trying to tell people about Jesus. You know, you can talk to a fellow a long time while you're shining the shoes, and if you need to talk to him longer, you just kind of take a little extra time shining that shoe. Prayed for people, talked to people about all kinds of life issues. Isn't it funny what strangers will say to another stranger? Shining shoes. Well, one day his boss told him he couldn't play any more Christian music. That was annoying. And he couldn't really talk about Jesus shining shoes. He just needed to shine shoes. So he decided to open up his own shoe shining booth there in the airport in Logan International Airport. Then sadly, one day he died. And there sat his shoe shine stall empty. Sylvia decided it was time for a career change. So she quit her job and started going 13 hours a day shining shoes. All of her kinfolks thought she was crazy. A lot of her business associates said, "Are you nuts? Just hire some people to do that." But she said, "No. No, this is my new job. Let me quote Sylvia. Sylvia said, I left all of this because for me, shining shoes was my God-called ministry. Doesn't get much more humble than shining shoes. Just an everyday person who was known all around Logan International Airport as Sylvia, the shoe shiner. She said, when I think that Jesus washed the disciples' feet, I am proud that God has extended to me, listen, the opportunity of shining people's shoes. So here we are, followers of Jesus, fellow servants of Jesus. Let me ask you this. Who are you serving? Are you still expecting others to serve you? Well, you've been called to freedom, but don't let your freedom turn you into desiring things that are for evil and for sinful selfishness, but out of love, look at those people you go to work with this week differently. Look at them through the eyes of Jesus. Love them with an agape love. It's not emotional, it's sacrificial. Love them with sacrificial love. Well, they don't deserve it, of course, and I didn't deserve it either. Nor did you when the Lord loved us. But now we bow. Now we put on our serving clothes. Now we put the towel on our arm. Now we do what nobody else wants to sign up to do. Now we serve in our jobs. We don't do it so that we get ahead. We don't do it to be noticed. We go and the badge, the mark that we wear, we live this lifestyle, but through love, serve one another. Just like Sylvia, the shoeshine lady. Now look, if he tells you to change jobs, the Lord will show you what to do. But in whatever you do, serve others. So now, all of you boys and girls, when you get in the car to go home today, I know all the boys and girls have been listening. They always listen very well. You have to now turn to your brothers and sisters and say, okay, I am your slave. Thank you for listening. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for what you teach us from your word. Thank you for the joy of knowing Jesus, who though he existed in the form of God, he thought it robbery to stay equal to God. He emptied himself and took upon himself the form of a bondslave. Lord Jesus, you came as a bondslave. You died for sin that we might have life and hope. We thank you, Lord, for all that you do for us. We thank you for the joy of Jesus. We thank you for your grace and mercy in our lives. And Lord, we thank you today that we've had the opportunity to hear your word. May we be servants through love to one another in our marriages, in our families, blessing these children who are all here together. May these children who grow up, may they see love expressed through service. Thank you for our people who serve faithfully in the military, first responders, our law enforcement. Thank you for those who serve at the table and serve meals. They all remind us of servanthood. So Lord, may we take up our servant clothes and do our duty. And thank you for this church. Multiply the servants. If you're here this morning, the Bible says, as I've said, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. If you're here this morning and you do not know Jesus as Lord and Savior, we do this every week. We stand, we sing, and we invite people to step forward and say to a pastor, look, I need to know Jesus as Lord and Savior. I need to be saved. I'm in bondage. I need to be free. And we'll help you with that. Others of you may be here this morning and you need to join this church. That's the next thing you need to do. You need to join with this faith family. So we support one another and encourage one another. We're not perfect, but we seek to do what we do together to honor Jesus. Now, those of you who've been here with me, now we hear. What is it you hear this morning? What did you hear today that you say, yes, that was just for me? So, Heavenly Father, now take your word and implant it in our minds and our hearts for better marriages, for better church, for better workers, for better individuals in this horribly troubled world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you stand, please? And as you stand, pastors are going to be here at the front. Now, Brother Tim's over here, and I'm here. If you need to come, you come on. While Eric leads us, you come on. Let's sing.